Welcome. If you guys would look at the screen, I'll give the announcement. For those of you who are here for the first time, if you would just use your phone to scan that QR code. That's our online bulletin and our sermon notes, all in one. So if you look in there, you would see a page that looks something like that on the left there with the sermon notes, the Bible verse for today, the notes that you can write for yourself, some forms such as the connection card and serve card, and the events. So if you could go into the events, you'll be able to follow along with what's going on this week at Sunflower. So once again, welcome. You may have noticed that on your way in, you've seen some of these things here. I just wanted to let you guys know what these are. The white one here, this is a connection card. So if this is your first time, or if your second time as well, and you want to just stay connected, please fill one of these out so that we can contact you. If you like coffee, like myself, please make sure to check that number too, and then we'll grab some coffee during the week. You may have seen that there is still a lot of work to be done in this church. So there is a lot of volunteering positions that we're looking for. So these are here to give you an outline of what is going on, what we're trying to prepare for our launch in April. So before you fill this out, please pray about it. See what kind of heart God is giving you. And one more, this little booklet is just here to introduce what the church is like, with our mission, our vision, and core values. If you want to learn more about the church, you can take one of these on your way out as well. If you like to give to the church financially, we do have some offering envelopes for cash or check. Please fill out the information there on the envelope if you would like a tax receipt at the end of the year. We also do receive e-transfers. You may have noticed that the email address looks nothing like Sunflower. That's because it's our denominations. We are under the denomination of Evangelical Free Church of Canada, the Lower Pacific District. And this is what they call a church project. In other words, it's a church plant. So we are under their charity number and such. That's why the offerings go over there. But please do make sure to write down Sunflower in the memo if you'd like to give to us. At the end of this month, and every last Sunday of each month, we would like to hold what we call Communion Sunday. So on the last Sunday, so for us, it'll be January 28th this month, we will share communion together as families. So we believe that family worship is very important for us, especially in this day and age when it's so hard to just do things together as family. So the children will also join us during the communion right after praise. Usually, once we have like children's ministry and things going on in the other theater, they'll join the communion and then they'll be dismissed to their side. We do recommend that you either be baptized or accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior before taking part of communion. If you would like to do that prior to the communion Sunday, please let me know, and I'll be more than happy to guide you in that. So this will be happening every month at the last Sunday. One more announcement for fellowship and info session. The first Sunday of each month, we plan on having some snacks or lunch after service. Last week, we had delicious cupcakes, thanks to Matthew. I was just meeting with some of the people that came, that visited last week, and instead of my sermon or the praise, all they talked about was the cupcakes. So it was really good. It was really memorable. It was we were so thankful to be blessed by that. So the first Sunday of next month, so February, we're going to have lunch as well. But on that Sunday, what we're planning on doing is having an information session where you can come in and hear more about what we're doing as a church, and see what ways you can connect. And if you have any questions, that would be a great chance for you to ask questions about what's here at the church, what we're doing or what we're not doing. For example, why we're not doing a paper bulletin, for example. So that's the first Sunday of February. Right after lunch, we'll gather at the birthday party room over there, and then we'll hold our session there. Now, if you would turn your either on your phone bulletin, you can go to the Bible, or if you could open up your Bibles, we would like to begin by reading today's word. Now, at this church, what we try to do is for praise and for reading of God's word, we try to stand. So if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's word. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They were filled with new wine." This is the word of God. You may be seated. If you have children with you today, I would like to just point out that they do have a handout that we have ready outside. Kids, if you finish your handout, well, you don't have to completely finish it, but if you, you know, work on it throughout the sermon, right, follow along with us and give it to me at the end, I do have some yummy candies waiting for you, okay? And there will be a quiz with the prize in the middle of the sermon, so please pay attention. So while preparing for this church plant, I started using Instagram more extensively. Honestly, I try not to use Instagram as much. I only went there to just, you know, see how my friends were doing or others were doing. But thanks to that, I was able to get the message out that, you know, we were starting this church. But there's something I realized once again. Nowadays, it's so easy to follow someone, right? All you got to do is just click that blue button right there that says follow, right? And now you're starting to follow that person and you can see, you know, what their life is like, everything that they post. You just click follow and you get to see every post. And I wonder if only following Jesus were that simple, right? Oh, just click follow and now I'm following him. This morning, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about following Jesus. I want to talk about how the church is a gathering of followers of Jesus. So when followers of Jesus gather, that's a church, right? You look around, this is a theater, but because we're gathering the name of Christ, because we're followers who gather together, this is now a church. And as we will see, following Jesus is no easy task. And if you have been following Christ for a while in your life, you probably know what this means, right? It's not easy to be a follower. Because follower is supposed to follow till the end. And followers follow what their leaders do. And even though we may follow someone on Instagram or follow our idols, right, or on social media, we're still only fans, in essence. Right, when comparing fans to followers, we can't forget Carl Eidelman's book, Not a Fan. I'm sure some of you have read this book before. But in the book, Kyle talks about what it means to really follow Jesus. It's got really, you know, a lot of good quotes on it and really makes you think about following Christ. But here's just one quote that I wanted to share with you this morning, and that is, "Fans mistake knowledge of Jesus for intimacy with Jesus." Right? You think you're close with this person because you're following him, you know about this person, but that's not the same as being intimate with the person. Right, this is the case with social media as well. Right? We know of the person through what they post. Oh, this person went to vacation. This person is eating this. This person's over here. Right, and so on and so. And you think that you know them, but we don't really know what's actually going on in their lives. Because they get to choose what they want to show to the world, but you don't get to see what's actually happening in their lives unless you're walking with them, unless you're spending time with them. Just because you have information on them doesn't mean that you truly know them. And if you really want to get to know Jesus and begin a new life with him, we have to be more than just fans of Christ, right? We must become his followers. And that means we follow his examples. Now at Sunflower, our motto is follow the sun, right? You may have heard that slogan here and there, follow the sun. And some of you have noticed that whenever you try to search for the church on the phone or on the computer, right, it keeps autocorrecting you. Right? That's what happened to us once. Right? We tried to make like the domain for Sunflower and then autocorrect it with S-U-N, and then I had to like cancel that one, right? Lose some money on that, and then try it again, S-O-N, try to learn the spelling, right? But you know, it's a small price to pay to use that sunflower metaphor. You see, sunflowers, okay, or what we call heliotrope plants. Kids, listen carefully because this might be on science tests, okay? Heliotrope means it follows the sun. A lot of plants follow the light, but this plant, the sunflower, is called a heliotrope because it actually follows the sun. And we know this because the sunflower will still follow the sun even on cloudy days. Now here is a great CG of the sunflower following. This is the best I could do, right? This is what happens during the day. Right? That's a sunflower just kind of chasing the sun during the day, right? That's noon probably, and then it's going towards the afternoon. And at nighttime, what happens is it resets. It just goes back to where the sun would rise again and waits for the sun to come. And just keeps repeating that process. What's interesting is when a sunflower grows and matures, it just faces east. It doesn't follow the sun anymore, but it just knows where the sun will rise. No matter what, it knows that it will rise from the east, so it will start facing that way. And that's the kind of church we want to be. Always following the Son of God, no matter what comes our way. Right, you know, if fans leave when they no longer like the person, right, when there's like a scandal or something, or if it poses danger to keep on following that person. But followers stay to the end, no matter the cost. It's this kind of commitment that will allow us to experience a deep, intimate life with Christ. Now, for our young audience, right, here's the big idea for you guys to follow. And the big idea is this. Is that the church is made of followers of Jesus. And we will get to learn what it's like to be a follower of Jesus through the story in the book of Acts today. Now, today's sermon, for the rest of us here, can be summarized like this, as follow you. Okay? It's pretty easy, right? Jesus, follow you. So the three things I want to share with you today is that the church is made of followers of Jesus and that the followers are united, they are universal, and they're unconventional. We're united, as in we are one. We're universal, as in we're from all over the place, and we're unconventional. In other words, we're kind of weird. So that's what I would like to share with you this morning. So the first thing is that we're united. Right? A church is a very special gathering of people. It's a very special social gathering. Because most social gatherings are determined by what the members have in common. There's a common interest, a common status among people. For example, soccer clubs have members who love soccer, right? And there are some clubs where they meet to play board games together. And some clubs, well, I can't really call it a club, but some gatherings is because of their weaknesses, shared weakness, common weakness, such as Alcoholics Anonymous, right? There's something common that holds people together. But when you look at church from the outside, it's a very strange gathering. Because they have nothing in common, right? As you get to learn one another here, right, you'll notice that, wow, like, we all have very different walks of life, Now, when I share with others about like the time I go out to play with my friends, right, like, you know, guys' night out, it sounds like a beginning of a joke, right? Here's how it goes, right? It's like a dentist, a teacher, an engineer, and a pastor goes to the bar, right? Don't worry, I don't go there to drink, but, you know, that's how it begins. A dentist, a teacher, an engineer, and pastor walk into a restaurant together. One of the friends is here just smiling. But how did a dentist, a teacher, an engineer, and a pastor end up together? That's because we all went to the same church youth group, right? And we're still meeting because we have that common ground of believing in Christ. Right, we each go to different churches now, mostly, but we are still meeting together because we have that bond from Christ. Even in this theater, we have people from different walks of life and professions. People who would not usually hang out together. But that's a church. And there's another gathering that's similar, as in people of different professions, right, different interests, regularly meet together, and that's family. And that's what a church is. It's a family. It's a family of God. We're all different, but we all are together. We're brothers and sisters to one another through Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, we become a child of God. Therefore, when believers gather together, it's basically a family reunion. And that's why in a church, the most unlikely of combinations can occur. Right, for example, you can see a doctor talking to a bartender, for example, or an accountant talking to a tattoo artist, or an addict talking to a teacher. That's because the uniting factor in a church is not from a person's social background or interests, but it's because, but the uniting factor is a person, Jesus. I mentioned this last week, but we saw that the disciples and Mary and Jesus' brothers were all gathered together, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Again, these people would not have associated with one another socially. If you know the disciples, right, we have people like, you know, a hardworking fisherman working with a thief who steals from their friends, right, like Peter and Judas. We have a zealot who's basically a revolutionary who's against the Romans, right, together and sharing bread with someone like Matthew, the tax collector, who works for the Romans, right? They would have hated each other. But they were all together because of one person, Jesus. They were followers of Jesus. And the world saw them as Jesus' disciples because they saw how they love one another and serve one another despite their differences, all in the name of Christ. And we know that they weren't merely fans but followers because they stuck around in Jerusalem where it was actually dangerous to be a Christian. It's only been 50 days after Jesus had died and you know, rose again. So the religious leaders still didn't like Jesus or his followers. Yet here they are, the apostles and 120 other disciples gathered together in the upper room, unsure of what's to come. But they wait because they trusted in Jesus and his promise. Now when we look at our society, we see more and more division than unity. Right, cancel culture is so prevalent now that one wrong move and you're an outcast. Right, people you unfollow them, you delete their account, you block them. You don't want anything to do with them anymore. It's so much easier to find reasons to be divided than to be united. And people long to see harmony and unity. It's so much. Sorry about that. But unity happens when there's a common goal. A common cause. It brings different people together. And kids, pay attention for this, okay? Because you guys know this, okay? Shows like Paw Patrol, for example. If it were my generation, I would have used Power Rangers, but because kids, right? See, now they're looking at the screen. Yeah, you know that, right? These pups have different skills. And some moms know this too, probably, right? They have different skills and abilities, right? One's very clumsy, one has leadership, right? One likes eating, whatever. But what do? At the end of the day, they work together to save the day. Yeah, that's okay, right? You want to take a closer look. But okay, now here's a quiz, okay? Pay attention. I want to give a chance to the younger kids first, okay? So here's a little prize. Can anyone name all the pups on the screen? want to give it to the younger kids first. Anyone? Okay, well, let's... Okay. I saw some hands where... Alice, did you have your hand up too? Yeah? Do you know? You want to say it?
Edward? Oh, come here.
This is Alice, by the way. Let's give her a big hand so, you know... So she, yes, come this way. This is a family worship for the first month, so this is what we're going to do. Okay. Maybe I'll bring some prizes for the adults too one day. Here, come. I'm gonna give you the mic for a second. Oh yeah, there is Everest in this one. Yeah, you wanna tell us your name first?
Alice,
can you tell me the names of the pups? And if you know, do you know their powers too? Mm. Yeah? Okay, well, just the names first then.
Everest, Rocky, Chase, Sky, Rebel, Zuma, Marshall.
Oh, do you know any other pups? I don't know either. Is there a favorite one that you have? Sky. Yeah, Sky? What's her power, do you know?
Flying.
She flies. Thank you. That's for you. Yay!
I know it's in Japanese, so we can figure it out together later. Okay? You can put your hand out. Keep doing your hand out. I mean, there's a prize at the end. I know. You want to say something too? Yeah? Okay. Well, this is family worship. Some things are unexpected, and they really love to participate, so. All right. Come down, JJ. Yes, he's my son. Yes, did you want to say their names too? Do you know their names?
Everest, Rocky, Chase, Sky, Zuma, Rebel, Marshall.
Do you know any other pups too? That's not on here?
Tracker,
oh, thank you. You just wanted to say it, I guess. All right, we'll move on for now. Okay? Here's one for the adults, right? Some movies that we know, right? Movies that we love to watch, we grew up with, right? There are things like Ocean's 11. I don't know if you guys know this, right? What was the common goal here? To steal $160 million, right? The Avengers, that one was a big one, right? To save the universe, that was their common goal, but they're very different people. Here's my personal favorite, The Fellowship of the Ring, right? From The Lord of the Rings. They're very different people. They're hobbits, they're humans, there's elves and dwarves. The fact that an elf and a dwarf will work together, that's a testament to what we're trying to say here. Because that was the goal, right? The goal was to destroy the One Ring of Power. We Christians have one goal as well, and that is to glorify Christ. That's our goal in this life, is to glorify God by glorifying Christ. And when that's the common goal, it brings people together. It allows us to overcome our differences and love one another. Remember though, okay, overcoming differences and loving one another takes work. Even in families, right? Just having the kids getting along, that takes effort. It doesn't just happen naturally. Even for husband and wife, it takes work to keep that marriage strong. But our love for Jesus and his love for us helps us overcome these differences and love others. And that's why Jesus says, just as I have loved you, love one another. Only when we are following Jesus can we be united. Now, let me mention one practical application of this. I know that there are some single people here, so listen carefully, okay? Because this has to do with marriages and dating, right? Because this truth can apply to those who are trying to get married, or those who are already married as well. When you're looking for a future spouse, you need to find the person who is also a follower of Christ, right? The Bible says this, and I know that it's kind of hard to find like a good person, good guy or girl who's in Christ following, right? But assuming that following Jesus is your priority in life, finding another person who also follows Jesus is a key to happy and long-lasting marriage. Because when the both of you follow Christ, you strive to follow Jesus together, your values become aligned. Because you try to align them with that of Jesus's. Right? You try to follow what Jesus says. You both look in the same direction and are able to share the vision together. Even when things get rough in relationships, you try to follow what Jesus taught you, and that brings you together. Such as, you know, make sure that you reconcile before the sun goes down. So if you and your wife, your husband fought, right? You guys are talking, and at the end of the day, or right, before you go to bed, you try to reconcile. You try to forgive one another. Ask for forgiveness. If, for example, right, you married a non-Christian, you would already be you might have disagreements about things such as money or raising children, for example. Right, you want to give offering on Sunday, but they don't want to give offering on Sunday. On Sunday, you have to go to church, but if it's like a beautiful day, they want to go out with the family. Right? On how to raise children, right? You want them to grow up in Christ. You want to teach them the things from the Bible, and they think that you're just indoctrinating them or brainwashing them. There will be disagreements. And when you go to worship, when you're reading the Bible, you're praying, and God touches your heart, and you really want to share this with someone, you can't with the one person you love the most because they don't get it. So you have to go and share with a friend who understands. And although you're sharing this, in the corner of your heart, it's so sad because you can't share that experience with your spouse. For parents, right, who are both already following Christ, our job now, right, is to help our children follow Christ, to follow Jesus. Teach them what it means to follow Jesus. Teach them what it takes to follow Jesus so that when they grow up, they know what it's like to follow Jesus so that they can do this on their own as well and look for others who are also following Christ. And that's just one example of how following Jesus can unite us. And the same is true for a church. When we share the same goal, same vision, same values, we can be united. When each person seeks their own goal, the church will experience division. For us as Sunflower, this would mean that we're united when it comes to the mission. And this is the mission of Sunflower, is to glorify Christ by making growing Christians. That's our mission. We want to glorify Christ. How? By growing us ourselves, our friends, our families, our children, we help them grow. And that is why the church is compared to a body, and each of us are a member of the body with Jesus as a head. So let us grow together by following Christ together to glorify the Son together through our unity. Now the second point is related to the first, and that is that followers are universal. This unity doesn't just happen within a church, but happens globally. As part of the church planting process, I get to meet with a lot of different people, with a lot of new people, right? There were friends that I knew, and they connected with others, right? And I got to meet with a lot of non-Koreans as well. And even though I don't have a lot in common with them, and although it was the first time talking to them, I found myself opening up and chatting as though we have been friends for a very long time. How is that possible? Because we were talking about Jesus and what he's been doing in our lives. Trust me, you can talk for hours with the person as you share about what Christ is doing in your life, what he has been doing, and how they've been led by Christ. And you listen to them and you're like, yes, I understand, I get it. In fact, I'm willing to say that I have less in common with a non-believing Korean than a believer who's not a Korean. That's because we have Jesus as our common ground. Excuse me. And that is all thanks to the Pentecost. Now, let me briefly explain what Pentecost is, and I will explain more next week as we talk about the Holy Spirit. But Pentecost is a 50th day from Passover. So Jesus died on Passover, right? And it's been 50 days since then. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecoste, which means 50. That's why it's called Pentecost. And on this day, the promised Holy Spirit came and dwelled on the followers of Jesus. And when they were filled with the Spirit, they started talking in foreign languages, right? That's the story that we usually remember. They started speaking in tongues, so to speak, and then all these people from different nations got to hear. Now, during that time, Jews living in different countries were gathered in Jerusalem. Right? There's a map of that, you know, from where they came. They actually came from like all over the world over there. Right? They were visiting Jerusalem in order to take part in the special sacrificial service that only happened in the Jerusalem temple. And to their surprise, they got to hear languages from their own countries. Right, so it's like this, right? I'm sure most of you can relate to this. Like you go to a food court as a Korean Canadian, and all of a sudden you hear someone speaking Korean, right? Like they're far away, but you can hear them. You don't want to listen to them, but you can hear them clearly, right? Because, I mean, nowadays there are more Koreans than before, but back then when it was kind of hard to find Koreans, like you go somewhere, you hear Korean, you can immediately understand what they're saying. And that's what would have been like for these people, right? They're from all these different countries, right? And then they came and now they're hearing the language that they grew up with. These were the Jewish diaspora living in foreign countries that we read in the beginning, right? All those difficult country names there. And I think as a Korean Canadian, I can relate to this as well. Because Koreans are everywhere, right? Because Korea, you know, we have hot summers and cold winters, we can survive anywhere, right? And Koreans can eat anything. They eat like live octopus. What can't they eat, right? And that's probably one of the reasons why we have so many missionaries as Koreans too, right? The USA has sent the most missionaries. Number two in the world are Koreans. Right, we have the most missionaries. I think there are like, you know, Koreans living like in parts of Chile, like all the way down to the south, the colder part of Chile, for example. I think I was watching TV and then like I think it was Park Myung-soo, like he was visiting, right? And there was a guy selling Korean ramen in Chile. Right? And there's another guy in like Egypt doing like tour guides and stuff. Like Koreans are everywhere, right? Now, as a Korean Canadian, we're one part of that diaspora. And I think living in Vancouver, we have a very unique setting as well. As Korean Canadians, we feel this tension between the Korean part of us and the Canadian part of us. Right? We can't quite choose one or the other. We don't really know what we are, right? For example, at Olympics or World Cup, who do you cheer for? You cheer for Korea, right? And when Korea is not playing, you cheer for Canada. The real tough, you know, situation is when Korea and Canada are playing against each other and like, what do I do here, right? That's kind of like choosing mommy or daddy. Now you're not sure. And that's who we are. We're in between. And that's kind of becoming our identity. That tension between these two cultures, that is actually becoming our identity. Like we love kimchi and we still crave poutine. That's who we are. And this would be true for Chinese Canadians, for Indian Canadians, Filipino Canadians, and so on. We all live with this tension here. And that tension gives us a unique subculture, and I think the Bible is showing us that it's okay. Just as these Jews were like us, like Jewish Parthians, Jewish Pharisees, Jewish Egyptians, Jewish Romans, they all bring their own unique subculture, and yet God tells of his mighty works in their language. I can see here that God respects these cultures and that God respects our culture as well. And this is one of the reasons why we decided to start a church for the next generation of immigrants with services in English. Because we firmly believe that God cares about these subcultures too. In Canada, especially Vancouver, we call it a mosaic, right? And the illustration is that of a guitar. Right, like the guitar over there. I mentioned that this unique tension can be good. Right, a guitar string cannot make a sound without tension. Unless it's pulling on both sides, it can't make a sound. And different strings have different tension, different thicknesses, so that it creates different notes. And when God takes hold of all those different cultures together, it makes a chord. It makes harmony. Right? It becomes a universal unity of followers. And harmony, by definition, implies that we're different yet in tune. So followers of Jesus may come from every part of the world and culture, but we are in tune with Jesus and with each other. And what's unique about Vancouver is that we don't have to go to the ends of the earth to do this, right? Because the ends of the earth came here. you get to meet so many people from different countries. Now, more and more people are leaving the country and province, but even more people are actually immigrating to Canada. And I believe that God is going to use this generation, right? This next generation of diaspora believers to bring about His mighty works and glorify Him by allowing us to share this gospel, to be in harmony with these believers from other countries and other cultures as well. Lastly, followers are unconventional. Now, there's an interesting verse at the end of today's passage. It goes like this. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They're filled with new wine." When some thought that something amazing was happening, some thought that they were just crazy, right? They mocked him. They're not really saying that they're drunk since it was only daytime, but to them it seemed unconventional and weird. But the thing is, Christians are supposed to be unconventional. Unconventional, kids, means that it's not based on what is generally done or believed, right? For example, you usually conventionally eat an ice cream cone from the top. It will be unconventional to start eating from the bottom, right? For Vancouver, it will be conventional to carry an umbrella, unless you're a true Vancouverite and you don't carry an umbrella at all. But what's unconventional will be you wearing a sunscreen on a dark, cloudy day. And when you're unconventional, it draws attention. For example, right, I love this actor here. His name is Denzel Washington, right? He's a great actor. I've always enjoyed watching his movies. And what's more is that he's a Christian, right? He's actually a PK, you would say. His father was a minister. And in Hollywood, he's known for sharing openly about his faith, right? About the importance of prayer and relying on God. At the Dillard University, his 2015 commencement, he gave the speech which became known as the Put God First speech, right? In it, he says, number one, he shares like three things. And number one, he says, put God first. Put God first in everything you do. Right? This is a Hollywood actor trying to, you know, and then these kids are probably looking up to him and saying, what's the secret to success? And he says, put God first. Later, he even talks about being intentional about praying, like putting your slippers deep under the bed when you go to bed so that in the morning when you get up to get your slippers out, you have to kneel down to get it. And while you're down there, he says, take a moment to pray, right? That's the kind of thing he's teaching these students as they go out into the world. He's a very successful Hollywood actor, but he doesn't give the message of a typical successful actor. And that's why his message sticks out. And his message sticks out in this personal brand, flex what you got kind of culture. And that message is, put God first. That's unconventional. To use a more biblical term for this, to be unconventional means to be holy. Well, that's a word we use a lot in church. To be holy means to be set apart for a special purpose. Like in your homes, there are plates that you use for every day, and there are special plates that you never use, that is just displayed, right? They're reserved for like special guests. Those plates will be holy. They're set apart for special purpose. And followers of Jesus are called to be holy. We're called to be set apart for a special purpose. So we need to be different. We need to be unconventional. And that's why Jesus called us to be salt and light. Salt must be different from the food that is in, right? Otherwise, everything will rot. Right? Because salt preserves food precisely because of its chemical composition that's different from the food, right? It must maintain a special property to give taste and preserve. Light is set apart from darkness. It stands out. You can see a small light even a mile away when it's completely dark. In fact, if you look up at the sky on a very dark day, you see lights from millions of light years away, right? Stars. You can see that because it stands out in the darkness. Because Christians were unconventional, that is, they did not follow the trends of the world, they were able to bring good. For example, Christians were the ones who went against the conventional use of slavery so that they can abolish slavery and then that people will be free. That was unconventional. It is only when we do not act the way the world acts that we stand out. Now, I'm not saying that you be weird or strange. Right? There was a video that I just saw where this guy is on a plane, like 50,000 feet in the air, praising God there. Good for him, but that's, I don't know if that's glorifying God. Right? Because maybe he did it more for the views, for more for followers. I don't know. What I'm saying here is that when everyone else is following the conventional ways of the world, you follow Jesus. When others are cheating the system, you be honest. When others are complaining, you give gratitude. When others are looking for ways to get even, you forgive, you show mercy, you show grace. When others are doing things that everyone else is doing, as the world does, you do things the way Jesus does. Isn't that what Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, though? Right? Do not be like them, he says. This is what it says. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone will sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. That's unconventional, and that's Christ-like. Again, think of the sunflower. It's a flower that sticks out, it stands out, and it follows the sun. When cloud covers the sky and the sun can't be seen, the sunflower will still point towards where the sun would be. And that's because it's been following the sun every day. It's built into its system. It's built into its rhythm. So that even on cloudy days, it knows where it should go. And that's my hope for the followers of Christ, for this church. I want us to follow the sun, Jesus Christ, each and every day. That even when the situation gets dark, when it's like a dark, cloudy day in our lives, when economic recession comes, for example, or when disaster, disease, or death strikes us or our loved ones, we are still following the sun in that darkness, and others will be able to see where we are pointing. For that's when people will say, I want what you have as well. I want that hope. Let's be that. So lastly, let me end with this. Right, we talked about how followers are united, right, how we're universal and we're unconventional. We are one. Right? God called us to be one, and God called us to be holy. But how do you follow Jesus in the first place? How do you trust him? Right, to follow someone, you need to be able to trust him. Blindly following someone is foolish. How do we know that Jesus is someone we can trust? How do we know that he's someone who loves us and cares for us and someone we can actually follow? I'm sure the song of you, when you heard follow the Son or follow Jesus, right? Remember the verse from the Bible where Jesus says, follow me, right? It's a famous verse that says that Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When we talk about following Jesus, we might think it's something easy, but I mentioned before in the beginning that it's no easy task. And that's because he wants us to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. To deny yourself and take up the cross essentially means to give up all your authority. It means he gets to say what you do. You go where he goes. But here's something I want you all to remember as you leave here today. He tells us to follow him because he followed us first. When he says, deny yourself, remember that Jesus himself denied himself. He denied everything that he could, you know, he could, all the privileges that he had as God, he denied all that so that he can come to this earth. When he says, pick up your cross, remember that Jesus picked up our crosses and gave up his authority completely to God. He said, not my will, but your will be done. And when he says, follow me, remember that Jesus followed us into this world so that he can make the way through death and so that he can lead us, make way for us to follow into eternal life, glory, and joy. That is why we can deny ourselves, pick up our crosses, and follow him. Because he did it first for us. He is loving and he is trustworthy. And remember that Jesus will never lead us somewhere where he himself won't go. He promises that He will be with us wherever we go to the end of the age. And when you decide to follow Him, you will see that this is the life that you've always been waiting for. So I invite you this morning, if you're not following Jesus yet, start today. It only takes one step to start following. If you think you're following Jesus already, let others see the one that you follow. Be united with other followers. Be unconventional. Be holy. And follow the Son. Let us pray. Again, at the end of the prayer, there will be a short time of reflection and prayer. And they will sing a song together and end the service. Father God, we thank You once again for showing us the way, for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may follow Him in this world. For He's the one who denied Himself first. He picked up our crosses first. And He followed us first so that we can be His and He can be ours. Help us to be united, Lord. Help us to be one mind, following the Son together. Not just in this church, but with other believers as well. And help us to stand out for You, Lord God, so that You may be glorified. We thank You, Lord, in all this in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.